Well, what's that old saying, politics makes strange bedfellows? Well, here's a group of strange bedfellows for you. President Obama, the ACLU, and the Koch brothers. All three are involved in a push to pass sweeping criminal justice reform this year, the president's last full year in the White House. Specifically, the group is seeking a plan that would cut mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent drug offenders that have been put in prison for decades or even life, and give judges greater discretion in setting prison terms. Other aims: reducing recidivism, releasing elderly prisoners, and limiting solitary confinement of juveniles. Now joining us is one of this package's key negotiators, Mark Holden. Holden is a general counsel for Koch Industries. He's regarded as one of the nation's leading voices in the bipartisan effort to achieve criminal justice reform. And he speaks this afternoon on the topic, why Koch joins the ACLU and the NAACP in criminal justice reform. He's doing that here in Kansas City. And Mark, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Well, great. Since when do the Koch brothers work in lockstep with the White House on anything these days, Mark?
Well, let me start with, there are four Koch brothers. I'm privileged to work for Charles Koch and David Koch,
right,
based in Wichita, Kansas. And we've been working on criminal justice reform issues for many years now, over a decade. And it's been the last several months that it's been my great privilege and opportunity to work with the White House on these issues as well. It's a bipartisan approach, as you mentioned, and I think that Koch working with the president on these issues really shows that.
And the Kochs are interested in criminal justice reform. Why?
Well, it's multifaceted. It starts with the view that right now our criminal justice system, it's morally indefensible. From a constitutional perspective, there are issues, and it's also fiscally ruinous. And we're focused particularly on our two-tier justice system. And the criminal justice system, as it's currently set up, if you're rich, if you're wealthy, you will get good treatment overall, and you'll probably be okay. If you're not, if you're poor, if you're disadvantaged, you're going to have a negative experience. And what we've seen in this country in the past several years, decades now, is a situation where we have even federal judges now commenting that people plead guilty to things that they didn't do because they can't afford to fight the government. So we think that's outrageous, and we want to help remove these barriers to opportunity for the least advantaged. And right now, our criminal justice system is a major impediment to opportunity for poor people. And that's our focus, what we're trying to do in this movement to address those issues.
You know, Mark, you guys also believe the country is over-incarcerated. There's too many Americans in prison. Tell me about that.
Well, if you look at the data, we've got 5% of the world's population here in the United States and 25% of the world's prison population. We spend over $250 billion a year on our criminal justice system, $80 billion a year on incarcerating people in this country, which is 3 to 4 times more than we spend per capita on education in this country. And if you look at that, it's more than anybody in the world in incarceration rate and total incarceration numbers. We think that there are too many people in prison for issues that probably don't need to be dealt with so punitively, particularly mm-hmm. when it goes regard to drug laws, nonviolent drug offenders. A lot of them, we're talking street-level dealers and lower, get very punitive sentences. And what happens once you go to prison and you get a criminal record, we know that it's very difficult to recover from that in our society, and it can set someone on a path where they will end up in a life of crime because they have no other options, because they can't get a job, they can't get a loan, they can't get housing once they're out of prison. So we think there are better ways to deal with a lot of these issues. And we're talking again about particularly nonviolent offenders. There are better ways, less costly ways, both from a human, societal, and fiscal perspective, than putting people in prison for things like this.
Mark Holden is my guest. He's the general counsel for Koch Industries, our topic, criminal justice reform. I'm just wondering, Mark, how did you guys manage to get together with the White House, and how much suspicion was there on both sides at the beginning of all this?
Well, I don't know that there wasn't any suspicion on my side. And I think for a lot of people who have known about our work in the criminal justice reform movement the past decade plus, there probably wouldn't be much suspicion. But with regard to the White House specifically, I met Roy Austin, who is a close advisor to the president on criminal justice issues, at an event, a criminal justice event in Washington last year, and we exchanged pleasantries and said let's get together. So we set up a meeting in April, this past April, and to talk about criminal justice reform issues, because it's an important issue, obviously, for the president, as we've been talking about. And when I walked into the White House for the meeting, I was supposed to be meeting with Roy Austin and a couple other people. Valerie Jarrett was there as well, unannounced. And it was a great meeting. It was surprising to see her, but it was great to meet her, and we had a great discussion about our work, what we're focused on in the criminal justice reform movement, what their focus is. In particular, we discussed at length Ban the Box, which is an important issue that's getting rid of the box on employment applications.
Right. If you've been a criminal in the past, you have to declare in some cases that you've been a criminal, and you're advocating getting rid of it. In fact, Koch Industries doesn't have that box and hasn't had it for a while. Why not?
Well, we don't have it because for us, it didn't make sense. Over the years, we've seen imperfections in our criminal justice system firsthand here at Koch, personal experiences and otherwise. And what is criminal in this country and how people can get tripped up has led us to believe that as a global employer looking for the best talent we can find, we have 100,000 employees, we need the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And one in three adults in this country have some type of criminal record. So if you're going to fixate on the fact that someone might have done something in the past that led to a criminal charge, you're going to exclude a lot of talent. And so our focus is we want to get to know the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see what they're like now and not necessarily judge them on what might have happened on their worst day.
Yeah.
Because we don't think that's fair to them. It's not fair to us. And as we like to talk about, we want the best people we can find, the best workers, not the best people with or without a criminal record.
Is there a sense now, Mark, that this get tough on crime push from back in the 1990s, that it just simply went too far?
I think there is. I'd say yes. I think the whole tough on crime, soft on crime are, at the end of the day, political slogans that really don't say too much and aren't helpful. I think that what we need to do is, like we would in any other endeavor, business or personal, look back on why we did what we did over the last 30 years, and it's been a bipartisan effort between Republicans and Democrats from Reagan to Clinton that have set up this system. And let's be smarter on crime.
Mm-hmm.
Let's address real criminal issues, and let's be softer on taxpayers, because it's very expensive to put someone in prison, and the direct and then collateral costs of someone with a criminal record and how they become a burden on society, either because they're in prison or they can't get a job afterwards, are enormous, and the societal costs and the human costs are enormous as well. So I think what we've seen in the past, at least 7-8 years, a number of states have looked at their budgets, seen how much they're spending on corrections, and taken a hard look at what they're spending it on, who is in prison, and what type of activities, and they've reformed their systems. And those experiences in these states that have done it, and we're talking red states, Texas.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get
Georgia.
The sense that conservative Republicans even are on board with some of this.
Well, I'd say conservative Republicans in a lot of ways. It's bipartisan or leading the way, though, conservative Republicans. And for Republicans, it's, everybody, all the governors start, Democrat or Republican, looking at their budgets and all the money that's going to the corrections department and prisons. And when they look at who's in there and for what, they say that this seems wasteful. So what they've done is change the laws to divert nonviolent offenders, reduce sentences, and they've seen – and other things. And they've seen public safety is enhanced. Crime rates continue to drop. Spending on incarceration drops, government spending. Incarceration rates have dropped, and people are getting a second chance at a productive life. So that's Democrats and Republicans. And, you know, from a Republican or Democrat perspective, everybody wants to do the right thing. And people have a strong belief in this country, obviously, in liberty and freedom, and that's the default setting. That's why our Bill of Rights has 40% of it deals with criminal justice issues. The default setting should be people are free, and I think that's the focus now, looking at what we've done in the past and maybe taking another look at how to deal with issues like drug usage, is maybe a public health issue instead of a criminal issue, that type of thing.
Mark Holden is my guest. He's the general counsel for Koch Industries, very much involved in criminal justice reform in this country, working very closely with the White House. We have him just for about 9 more minutes. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Mark, let's get some specifics here. At a minimum, what reforms do you guys want to see in this package that you're working with the Obama administration on?
Well, the package that there are a couple of bills that are in the lead right now. There's one in the Senate called the Corrections. It's the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act, excuse me. And that focuses first
on... This is the one that passed last year with bipartisan support?
Correct. It got out of the Judiciary Committee with bipartisan support. And it's sponsored by Grassley and Leahy and Durbin, Mike Lee, Senator Cornyn, Senator Booker. So it's definitely bipartisan.
Yes.
That focuses on giving judges more discretion on low-level offenders, not to have to give them mandatory minimum sentences, no low-level nonviolent drug offenders. So that's one aspect of it. There's also an aspect that prison reform, where when people are in prison, really, if you look at the prison experience, it should be focused on rehabilitation and reform and not necessarily just on retribution and reprisal. And what the prison reform element would be is people, inmates, can earn time credit so they could reduce their sentences if they engage in activities that will make them better people.
Mm-hmm.
So vocational training, faith-based training, educational training. And the whole idea should be that we want people in prison, we want them to come out better than they went in so they don't reoffend, so they don't hurt others, they don't hurt themselves, and they can be productive citizens. So there's an element of that as well. And there's also, you mentioned in your introduction, there's ending youthful solitary confinement and expungement and sealing of certain records of young offenders, things like that, which we think make a lot of sense. It's a really good place to start.
You know, of course, something this sweeping can't happen without at least a dose of controversy, and some of that controversy now centers on one provision that some key Republicans are pushing, Mark, and you know this far better than I. They want to include a requirement to force federal prosecutors to prove that certain criminal defendants specifically intended to act in a way that could reasonably be expected to know would be illegal. And the point here is the change would mostly affect crimes involving corporations and businesses, as prosecutors already must prove that defendants intended to commit common law crimes such as murder, assault, or robbery. That provision's already in effect for that level of criminal. Your clients, the Kochs, favor this provision. Why?
Well, let's back up. I think that the provision, mens rea, it's called.
Yes, mens rea.
Criminal intent standards, they're a basic of any just criminal justice system, that no one should lose their life, liberty, or property, or pursuit of happiness unless they intend to commit a criminal act. And it's really been a bipartisan issue over the years in Congress and in the states that everybody's agreed on that. There are, you know, we've had in the last couple of Congresses over criminalization task force that left and right. So Jim Sensenbrenner, for example, who's a Republican, and Bobby Scott, who's a Democrat, have supported it. The House bill, which has this provision in it, the House of Representatives passed the bill. It's been supported by Republicans, you're right, but it's also been supported by John Conyers and Sheila Jackson Lee, who are Democrats. And the whole idea is you don't want people to go to prison unless they intended to commit a crime. That's the basic part of it. It passed, a similar provision passed in the state of Michigan last month.
Mm-hmm.
Unanimously, Republicans and Democrats agreed, and the ACLU of Michigan supported it. It shouldn't be controversial, and I think it's a little bit of an overstatement to say it would only benefit white-collar crimes, alleged crimes. It would benefit all Americans, all
And just for the record, Mark, the Obama administration argues that this provision would immunize corporate executives from criminal prosecution, you know, over, you know, wrongdoing committed by the companies they're involved with. That's their side of the coin here.
Yeah, no, I understand what they're saying. I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
But, you know, our position is we're in favor of comprehensive criminal justice reform.
Right.
And the House bill has that provision in it. We support the Senate bill as well, which does not have that provision. This is something that Congress needs to figure out, and I'm expecting they will, which is what they're supposed to have been doing all these years, is figure out what they have the appetite for and then get that in front of the president.
Right.
We're not going to stand in the way of reform if it doesn't have the mens rea intent standard in it. But at the same time, we don't think it should be so controversial, and we think it should be something that both sides, acting in good faith, can get comfortable with.
Mark,
so hopefully that will happen.
I'm going to bring Barry Grissom into our conversation. He's the U.S. Attorney for the state of Kansas. And Barry, good morning. You're on with Mark Holden. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Yes, and hi, Mark. It's good to hear your voice. Mark and I have met in our office in Wichita, and we discussed the topic that is being discussed right now, along with the issues that relate to reentry. And I just want to say, from someone from a law enforcement perspective, you know, we applaud the efforts that Koch brothers and Mark in particular are taking to try and reform our criminal justice system. You know, we have prosecutors who. There's certainly no knock on our prosecutors who have been raised in an era where mandatory guidelines and, you know, going for the jugular, if you will, has been, you know, the rule of the day. And what we've tried to do recently, and Mark's aware of this, is the issue of under Attorney General Holder's leadership is to do smart on crime.
Yeah.
And not go after somebody and do the mandatory minimums for a non-violent offender who's involved in drug trafficking. But that being said, it's very tough from an institutional standpoint to just change that unless we have the changes that Mark's articulating at the legislative level.
I mean,
once that's in, you know, that's in the law, I think that is what's going to really, really have the effect that we all want to have as far as the changing our criminal justice system.
Barry, I'm glad you called. Thanks for making it. I'm going to grab one more phone call here before we got to scoot. Ellen from Overland Park, good morning.
Hi. Well, kind of my question was answered. I was asking what is in this for the Kochs, because they wouldn't be supporting this if there wasn't something in. And it is the immunity from prosecution for when they know that something they're doing is going to poison groundwater.
Yeah. Ellen, hang on. Mark, go ahead and respond to that.
I'm sorry, man. That isn't accurate at all. I respectfully have to disagree with you. We're not in this for that provision. I've made that clear. We're in this for the other provisions. But mens rea, criminal intent standards protect all Americans, people involved in street crimes, to corporate suites. But that isn't why we're in this fight. We're in this fight for the reforms that U.S. Attorney Grissom was just talking about, to the mandatory minimum penalties that most adversely affect poor people, drug dealers, drug crimes, that type of thing. So that's why we're involved. So it's inaccurate to say we're in this for those other, for the some type of alleged immunity.
I'm sorry we couldn't get to all our phone calls here, Julie and Ellen, but Mark Holden, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the conversation. It's an important one to have, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it as well.